Welcome to the house of the Lord, and welcome to those who are watching us live on Facebook. We welcome you. We pray that the Lord has cleared your hearts and your minds to receive his word this morning. And what a beautiful word it is, amen? There's nothing quite as calming as the word of God. There's nothing that strengthens us more than the word of God. And so, as we prepare to hear his word, let us silence our minds and our hearts and truly receive through the Holy Spirit what the Lord has for us this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 13 and read 13 and 14. The message this morning is on spiritual boldness. It's something that some of us struggle with. Sometimes we struggle when the Lord leads us to be bold in action and in deed and in speech. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 reads like this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So to put these verses in context, we got to go back a little bit, back to chapter 3. And Peter and John were heading to the temple for prayer, for as it was prayer time. And there was a lame man who had been lame from birth, and his friends would carry him up to the temple each day before prayer time, and he would sit there and ask for alms, which is either money or food. And so Peter and John were heading up for prayer, and they seen this man. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I have no money, I have no food, but what I have is the Spirit of the Lord and the power of the Lord in me, and I freely give it to you. So what do you suppose that man would have rather had? A couple coins, a little bit of bread, or the ability to walk again? And there's Peter boldly stands before this man and a crowd of people who were heading into the temple. He could have easily just slid him a coin or told him he didn't have nothing. But he boldly stood before this man and says, I have no money or no food, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the lame man was healed. You don't see a whole lot of that today. You don't see a whole lot of boldness from Christians today because we're worried about offending someone. Now, this boldness that the Bible speaks of, don't get it twisted up with pride that man has. This boldness comes in humility, and this boldness comes with love, but yet the boldness must come when we are led to be bold. For some of us, it's a difficult thing to do, but as Peter and John stood there before this man, and Peter gave him this great gift, all the people around were astonished. They were amazed. Not only that the man could walk, but I feel that they were amazed that Peter would claim, one, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and two, in the name of Jesus Christ, actually heal somebody. And Peter didn't stop there. Peter went into Solomon's portico, and Peter tells the people that it was not the power of Peter or John that this man was healed, but it was by the power of the one that they had refused, the one that they had turned their back on, the one that they had traded for a murderer. It was through the power of Jesus Christ, the one that they could not see for who he truly was. So Peter quickly made sure that the people understood that it was not him, and it was not John, but it was the power of the one that they crucified. The one that they were so eager to give to crucifixion in place of a murderer. And you see, this isn't the first time that Peter and John spoke boldly about the Lord. This is what they had been doing. They had been boldly testifying about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Despite the opposition coming against the gospel, the number of Christians kept increasing and growing up to 5,000 from the 3,000 of the day of Pentecost. So as these disciples went about preaching the gospel, the amount of people that were being saved continued to grow and continued to grow. Acts chapter 4, verse 7 through 12 says this, "And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power, by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Then Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" Now we're really starting to see the boldness of Peter and John. You see, they had been arrested. And the next morning they were brought before the council. And Peter reminds them that they had rejected the cornerstone. Peter boldly stated, without Jesus, there could be no salvation. How was he able to do this? What did it say in verse 8? It says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the strength of the Holy Spirit and the boldness of the Holy Spirit that allowed Peter and John to be bold as they were. And we as Christians must stand firmly on God's word and what it calls immoral and sin. But above all else, we must boldly testify that salvation comes from no other than Jesus and that Jesus lives and reigns today. That is what we must boldly confess. No other way is there possible to receive salvation except through Jesus Christ. And how great and how wonderful is it that he lives today and he sits at the right hand of the Father and he reigns. And there'll come a day that he comes back to this earth and he will reign on this earth. And the Bible tells us that there'll come a time that every mouth will confess and every knee will bow, or every head will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we should confess it today. We don't need to wait for everybody else. We don't need to wait for the world to figure it out, because unless there is people like us filled with the Holy Spirit and given this boldness, the world will never know until it's too late. Look at our world today. If they ever need the Christian to boldly stand up and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, it's today. We can't just huddle up in our churches and hide from what's going on in this world. Jesus calls us to go out and proclaim the gospel, but the only way we can do it is if we allow the Holy Spirit to use us as a vessel and become bold in our faith and our trust in God. Amen? John, verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 19 says, "And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" So how do we receive today this spiritual boldness? We see in John chapter 20, verse 19, that they were scared. They were hiding behind locked doors. They were worried about persecution. They were worried about being arrested. They were worried about possibly being crucified. So they hid. And at one point, Peter, out of fear, denounced Jesus Christ three times. Amen? You remember that? And now he's standing before the Pharisees and the council and all these people boldly proclaiming Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead by God the Father. What happened? How did Peter and the disciples go from being fearful and scared and hiding behind a locked door to standing in the courtyard of the temple boldly proclaiming the gospel? Amen. The day of Pentecost. Amen. That scared, frightful little man received something that Jesus promised. He received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit poured down upon them and indwelled with them, and he brought with him a truckload of strength and gifts and boldness. Peter probably thought to himself, who am I? Who is this guy? And that's how we should be. We should be to the point where we don't recognize ourselves. Because we have that same Holy Spirit living with us today. So we have no excuse. Well, brother, I just don't speak in big crowds. Who says you got to speak in a big crowd? Maybe the Lord wants you to speak individually. But what if God does want you to speak before a crowd of people? Then you must have faith and trust that he will give you the strength and the boldness through the Holy Spirit to do just that. Because it's amazing when you see somebody that's quiet as a church mouse and then all of a sudden they stand up and they start boldly speaking the gospel, people are going to listen, one, because they're not used to this person speaking loudly. Peter was a fisherman. Peter was somebody who had denied Christ. Peter was full of fear. All of them were. Thomas was a doubter. John hardly said nothing at all, but yet he wrote a gospel that speaks of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So it was through the Holy Spirit, and there ain't but one. There isn't but one. Holy Spirit. And so that same Holy Spirit that indwelled with Peter and the other disciples is the same one that indwells with us. And I'm going to be totally honest with you folks today. I hate when people say, well, those gifts were just for them. Have you lost your mind? Show me in God's word where it says that only the disciples were given the gift of boldness. What has happened is man has taken these gifts and he has used them for his personal gain. He has molested these gifts and he has twisted these gifts to where people don't hardly believe they exist anymore, including Christians. There's so-called Christians that fill stadiums full of people and line them up on the stage and bam, 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 they're like dominoes. I've never seen that in the Bible. But for me personally, I believe that each and every gift is still available to us. We just have to be willing vessels. I had somebody tell me one time, and I'm not going to get into debate about this, but somebody told me that the Bible says that speaking in tongues will cease, and that's why we don't do it no more. The Bible does say that. Paul did say that. But if you look at the context of the Scripture, he's talking about when Christ comes back. Then there'll be no need for this gift. But we have the gift of boldness. And we have the gift of speech. And we have the gift of understanding. I read another article this week that just blew my mind. There's a pastor of a church, of a congregation of 2,500 people, and he says that when people say, God told me, they're lying because God does not speak to us. This is what the world is hearing, and this is what the church is facing when men that are called by God to preach the gospel says that God don't talk to me. If God don't talk to you, how are you preaching? And what he's talking about, he had an experience when he was a young pastor. He was going to a hospital and there was a young girl there who was dying of leukemia. And as he's walking down the hallway, he was 100% sure that the Lord spoke to him and said that this young girl would not suffer from leukemia anymore. So he goes and tells the father, "Your daughter is not going to suffer with leukemia much longer." 2 days later, the daughter dies. And so because of this one instance, the man, this preacher, doesn't believe that God speaks to us in this way. But what he said God told him was that this young girl would no longer suffer from leukemia any longer. He took her home, so she did not suffer. So we must proclaim, boldly proclaim the whole gospel and not just pieces of it. And we get this same boldness as Peter and the rest of the disciples did. We get it from the Holy Spirit. But to receive the boldness, we have to be willing to receive it. We have to be willing to hear when the Holy Spirit directs us to do so. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." You see, when Peter and John were before the council, they boldly proclaimed that Jesus Christ, through him, that this man was healed. In verse 23, after Peter and John had been released, they returned to their friends and told them what happened. And after they returned to their friends, they all began praying for this same boldness. They wanted the Holy Spirit to give them this same boldness that they could boldly go out and proclaim the gospel. And again, the question is this one of those things that was for them and not for us? Well, Paul settled that question when he asked in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, "Pray for me that I would speak boldly as I ought to speak." You see, Paul wasn't part of the disciples back then. So this same gift that the Holy Spirit gave to Peter and John and the other disciples, this gift of boldness, is still available to us today. And today we need it more today than we probably ever needed it. Because it's difficult times to be a Christian today. It's difficult to get people to hear one word we have to say about the gospel. That's why it's so important that if they don't hear it, then we must live it for they can at least see it. But in a world like we live in today, sometimes it's hard to live this Christian life, so we must receive the boldness from the Holy Spirit to even be able to live it, for others may see it. And so Peter and John went back and they all prayed. And what does it say happened when they all prayed? It said that the place that they were praying in began to shake and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The Bible is full of ordinary men and women. Ordinary. And I believe that God uses ordinary people the majority of the time. That way people can't claim it was me. Or others can't claim, well, he's an intellectual and he went to Harvard and he did all these things and that's why he can do what he does. Not that there's anything wrong with that. God uses those people just as well. But it's the ordinary folks that God gives this boldness to. Trust me, I wouldn't be up here today without it. I'm an introvert. which means I don't like being around big crowds of people. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 12 says, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. I told Arden yesterday that I'd learned something this week that just almost made my mind blow up like a balloon. It's something I never truly understood until this week. This scripture that Paul writes in Ephesians, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. To the principalities and the power in the heavenly places, this means that angelical beings are interested and instructed by the lives of Christians. Preacher, you done went and lost your mind. The way we live, angels take instruction from that? God's word says so. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. This passage reminds us that our struggle is bigger than ourselves. God has eternal things to teach the universe through us. The things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The unfolding of God's eternal plan is something that angels desire to look into. Angels observe our conduct. You see, God has an eternal plan that not even the angels know the fullness of this plan. And so they look down upon us to learn this eternal plan as it unfolds in our lives. Scripture tells us that we teach them by how we live and how we conduct. And basically, it's not so much talking about us personally, but it's talking about the church. But the church is made up of us. And so God calls us to boldly proclaim the gospel and boldly to go out into this world and reach the lost. But that's not the only part of our mission. You guys can sit there and think I'm crazy if you want to, but this scripture seems to back up what Paul says, that the angels and even the demonic angels watch what we do. And they learn God's eternal plan through us as it unfolds in our lives. Calvin had this to say about it. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. That comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing without partiality. Calvin writes, he adds to Christ the angels, not that they are judges, but as future witnesses of carelessness or rashness or self-seeking or bad faith. They are present as spectators, for they have been given charge to care for the church. And then Charles Spurgeon writes this, and lastly, what think some of you would angels say of your walk and conversation? Well, I suppose you don't care much about them, and yet you should. For who but angels will be the reapers at the last, and who but they shall be the convoy to our spirits across the last dark stream? Who but they shall carry our spirit like that of Lazarus into the Father's bosom? Surely we should not despise them. We should take this responsibility seriously, for angels are given the responsibility to carry our souls to heaven at death. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And are the reapers of the final harvest. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39 through 43. So not only do we have a responsibility to this world, but it appears that we have a responsibility to those in heaven as well. And it's a responsibility that we can only carry out if we receive this spiritual boldness that the disciples received on the day of Pentecost. Because look how it changed them. They went from being scared people who could do nothing for the Lord to becoming these ordinary but bold and powerful leaders of Jesus Christ. When they were thrown in prison, they continued to boldly speak the gospel. When they were ridiculed, even up until the time of their death, Peter, when they crucified him, boldly said, "Do not crucify me like you did Jesus, because I am not worthy. Crucify me upside down." Even up to death, these disciples were bold in their proclaiming of who Jesus was and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And out of all the things God calls us to do, those are the two things that we must not shrink back on. It's the two things that we must proclaim the loudest and the boldest, is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is no other way through to salvation without going through Him. And God raised Him from the dead, and He rules today, and He'll rule forevermore. And whether or not the world believes us, whether or not our neighbor believes us, whether or not the guy down the street believes us, is not our concern. That's the work for the Holy Spirit to do. Our job is to proclaim it and to live it. To live it is probably more important than proclaiming it. They say actions speak louder than words. So we must be very careful, especially today. Man, I can't go out and cut my grass without it showing up on Facebook somewhere. It's amazing what technology has done. What really gets me is now we have fact check. We can no longer trust our news sources. They have to be fact checked. My question is, who is fact-checking the fact-check? That's the world we live in, and so we must be very conscious about how we boldly live our lives for Christ. And to boldly live our lives in Christ means we must get out into our communities and allow them to see this life that Christ has given us to live. So in closing, let us remember this. There are two kinds of social people. There's extroverts and there's introverts. Extroverts love crowds. They love to be the center of attention. They love people. They love being around people. I don't know if they truly love the people, but they love big social gatherings. So you would think people like that, it would not be hard for God to use them to boldly proclaim and live this Christian life and spread the gospel. And then you have the introvert, which is kind of like me. I don't like really big crowds. I prefer to be by myself or around, you know, you get me around a dozen people, I'm about reaching my limit. But yet God can take an introvert, I'm talking a positively no doubt, there ain't no other way I could be introvert, and make him the boldest extrovert. If they're willing. You can take a guy that is so shy he has to put a newspaper in front of his face to be able to say hello. But if he is willing, the Holy Spirit can give him the boldness of Jesus Christ, and he can use him to do some amazing things. And so don't sit there and think, well, I'm a quiet guy, I'm a shy guy. God can't use me in that way. Oh, yes, he can. The only person that's telling you that you can't be used that way is Satan. Because Satan knows the truth. Satan knows what God can do with people like you and what God can do with people like me, and it brings fear to him. So he wants to tell us that lie. It's amazing how God can change us if we'll only allow him to. So as we prepare to leave this morning, let us remember Christians must boldly proclaim the gospel of salvation. We must also boldly proclaim the truth of our risen Lord, that he lives and reigns today. Two of the most important things that we must do as Christians. And the way we do it must be done boldly as the Spirit leads us. Now that don't mean go climb up on top of the church building after church today with a megaphone, unless the Spirit leads you to do such a thing. Wait on him. And when the time is right and the right person is in front of you, then you will feel this boldness and you'll be able to speak and say things that you never dreamt. And then when it's all said and done, you're going to sit back and think, wow, where'd that come from? I'm telling you today where it'll come from. It'll come from the Holy Spirit. And so be prepared for it. Be waiting for it. Because that time will come. And when it does, it's an amazing thing to know that through the power of God, you know you can't do it on your own. You already know that. So when God uses you, it's amazing. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and Father, we just thank you for this boldness and this strength that you give us through your Holy Spirit to be able to go out and to proclaim your gospel. Not only proclaim it, but to live it. And so, Father, we just pray that we have an open mind and an open heart to receive when the timing is of the Holy Spirit to give us this boldness, that we will not turn from it, but we will embrace it and we will allow ourselves to be used to boldly proclaim this gospel. Father, this world is in bad shape. And Father, it's imperative that children of God be willing to stand firmly on your word and have faith in your strength and your boldness to be able to go out and to do your work and to further your kingdom and to glorify you. And that's what we ask this day, Father, that you give us these tools, that you give us a heart of a willing vessel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.